AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez. Welcome to A Race of Your Own, where we talk about inspiration that leads to resilience. And today's guest, I've worked with before. I've had the pleasure of working with. He's an actor, a dancer, and all around just multi-hyphenate. He's appeared in the cult classic Bring It On, All or Nothing. played the role of Adrian on the Emmy-nominated East Los High. He's appeared opposite William H. Macy on Shameless. Has worked with Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, and Katy Perry. Has also worked with filmmaker and photographer David LaChapelle. And this one's my favorite. Very first audition for a television commercial, dancing for MC Hammer. Welcome, Gustavo Carr.
Oh, God. You did your research.
Yes, I did.
When you named things off, I was like, I did that. Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
And I left one out, which is you're in Playground, Robin Anton's and Kenny Warman's show, Playground.
Yeah, that's the most recent one. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know. Thank you for making some time in your busy, obvious schedule to be here.
I would basically never miss it for someone like you. I've felt your energy and your presence since we worked together on Pepsi with Britney, which was a couple years ago.
It's just a couple years ago. And that's why, in honor of that, yeah. I wore my little denim jumper.
Was that like destiny or happenstance? How did that work?
It kind of was happenstance because I didn't even put two and two together.
That's amazing.
Really, I just was like, oh my God, we wore jumpers.
Just flowing. We sure did.
We're in the energy and the flow.
So I wouldn't have missed it anyway. See, that's the prime example.
Exactly. So I want to know everything about dancing for MC Hammer, and that was your very first audition?
Yeah.
What was that?
I wish I remembered most things that I don't remember.
Okay. How old were you?
I was 9.
Wow.
I was 9 years old. Okay. My mom's fiance at the time, I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And her fiance and her from there, and they came out here together kind of. That might be a little bit of a lie. Anyways, his best friend and dorm roommate was Frank Gadsden.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Interesting.
I know. So
The plot thickens.
And I've always been a ham in performing and dancing. I learned to dance from watching Michael and Janet mostly.
Right.
And Paula music videos. Right. That was my dance training. I came from a single mom. Didn't have anything. So there was no dance class. I wasn't a competition kid.
Right.
It was all just me being myself, and they wondered if me being myself was something that was actually good or just, me being myself. So they had Frank come down to watch me dance, and I did Miss You Much for them.
Word. Did you do the choreography from the music? I did the hook,
yeah. And he was like, how'd you learn that? I was like, I watched it once.
Wasn't that crazy back in the day? We used to watch music videos like that and pick up the choreography.
Yeah.
Just no dance class. No TikTok.
Where was that?
No TikTok.
Where was that when we were dancing?
It didn't exist.
Thank God, actually, because that music.
No, I'm glad. I can now selectively share what I'd like to share.
Yes, kind of. Yeah. We kind of have more of a choice in that matter.
Yeah.
But long story short, he told me to audition for his agency, which was Bobby Ball back then. Mm. And I did, and they signed me on this. It was my first time learning choreography from somebody.
Wow.
But I really didn't have fear. I didn't learn that trait till my like late 20s. But after being in this industry for too long.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just did it, and they booked me on the spot and then sent me, which was weird. They signed me, then sent me to my first audition right from there.
Wow.
So it was just kind of like
this
tornado.
Like the day you signed, audition.
Literally from there, like, hey, can you go to this audition right now, actually? And my mom was like, sure. Like, just completely new ground for both of us.
Wow.
And Orange County is where we lived and we're from. So it's like L.A. wasn't our territory, so to speak.
Right. You weren't familiar with it at all.
No.
You weren't familiar with it.
Yeah, okay. No, and I went there, and I don't remember what I had to do. Next thing I know, I got booked. And I could kind of remember my mom's face kind of being like, what does this all mean? You know, and then it just kind of started taking off from there. Right. So thanks to Frank for seeing in me who I really am, and my mom and Rick having the intuition and thought to think of that even being put into play.
Right. And so you get the job, you book the job.
And I'm dancing on set with MC Hammer.
And what was it like
working
with him?
We were just freestyling
around
him.
Was he wearing the drop pants?
He sure fucking was.
Shut up.
I have a picture. I wish I could pull it up for you.
You have to send that because I'm going to insert.
Put the little thing? Yeah.
Put the little thing right there with your little. And you took a picture with MC Hammer?
Yes, thank you, Mom, for being a hoarder. Because I have pictures sometimes.
Wait, so you have a picture with MC Hammer on set?
Yeah, just
with
me
the
and
drop
him.
Pants. Were you wearing drop pants?
Was I wearing overalls?
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what I was wearing. I might have been wearing my own clothes even back then. You know, I don't remember the process.
Right.
I remember not having any type of fear and just feeling like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Nice.
So I was just dropped right into it and did what I needed to do.
And you were like 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. And my mom used to always get these compliments and be like, oh my God, he's so good. And like, I never paid attention to any of that, but she likes to hold on to that and kind of try to remind me in my down times, like, hi, remember? Right. I'm like, are you making this up?
And isn't that just, it kind of just like life, right? Like you're just flowing through life and you're just doing what you love and you're just doing what you like. And you're obviously we're kids. So at that age, it's like, well, this is just fun. I don't know, right? And so what was that, you know, this kind of where I'm staying on the theme with, you know, these episodes is Hispanic Heritage Month and what it's like being Hispanic, being in the, you know, communities, growing up in the industry, et cetera.
Well, that correlates perfectly for me, especially because I was raised by a white woman. So being the little brown kid that I am my whole life, I didn't even realize, like, I did, but as a child, you don't realize really.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm not white until you get treated differently. You know, being from somewhere like Irvine and having darker skin tones, people treat you different.
Mm-hmm.
They still to this day, being like in Newport, I'll still get looks like, why are you on my street? I'm like, interesting, still there. So yeah, that was definitely a different world for me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go back once a year to visit my dad. And his family, like during Christmas and Christmas Eve usually was the time that I got to be around my Hispanic family, the Latino heritage, which is Mexican. And, you know, grandma making her tamales and her homemade tortillas. Like, it was really awesome that I got to experience that once a year, maybe twice growing up, because I was able to tap into that part of me that was in my soul, but yet didn't resonate because it wasn't my surroundings of which I was growing up in. So lots of lack of understanding it, but also lots of intuitively feeling like I belong. But then from them, not making me feel like I belong because I didn't have that same lifestyle as them.
Right.
So that's just a part of like my unique mental disorder. I was just trying to find my own voice in this world of where I represent something, but I don't represent it to the level of which most people expect me, anticipate, or want me to represent it in. Which is awesome when you get older, because you're like, oh, awesome. That's why this is who I am. This is what makes me me. I never had to fit into anybody's stereotype. So yeah, I am like 3/4, you know, Hispanic, essentially.
Nice.
Quarter white, Polak. My mom, until you go 23andMe, and that gets really confusing.
Okay.
Because that's all we can
do. Have you
European.
Done 23andMe?
Yeah, like I'm 38% native, and then like, the rest of it is like Portuguese or Italian or Spanish, something like that, like European, you know, when it goes back that. But I've always been, in short, to the heritage of us and what we represent Latinos, I've always been just innately in tune with my indigenous side. I can feel my ancestors. I can hear my spirit guides talking to me. Like, I'm a Scorpio with a Cancer rising, so the intuition is on fleek. Like, quieted it most of my life because I was like, right. What are you doing? There's enough voices in here.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, the fact that you just sound really tapped in, right? And that to me is like culture.
100%.
Right? It's all about heritage.
Bloodline.
It's culture, bloodline, right? And the importance of that and knowing, it sounds like you're very clear, you know who you are. It
took a long time, especially because I grew up in this industry, like we just talked right. about. It didn't until I was 28, 29, did I actually have a out-of-body experience where I was like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been this for your whole life because you've been putting on your whole life. Is this what you're putting on or is it authentic to you? It's about that time to grow up and figure it out. Solar return time, which is for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you into astrology?
Yeah.
A lot. Heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a
I
lot.
I need you to do my chart.
And I'm like, no, I'm not. So my solar return happened.
Right. Or
my
like, Saturn, wait, what's a solar return?
I'm at a Saturn return. See, so people in astrology be like, he's not that into it. I'm like a 7 out of a 10. Like,
okay.
There's a full moon meditation that I'm definitely gonna do tonight.
Okay.
You know, like
okay.
to align
what's
me to
that
the
like?
Energies.
What does that look like?
Okay, so I'm just gonna shout her out and she doesn't know me and I hope I get to like know
okay.
her one day. Her name is
Lead us through a full moon meditation.
Reiki Rachel. I go on her YouTube and she Reiki has Rachel. Attune yourself to the energies of this full moon meditation.
Uh-huh.
It's like a super moon.
Okay.
And she guides you through it. And like what you essentially get to do, why I think it's so great for creatives like us,
yeah.
is because she guides you through it and all you get to have to do is create your life experience that you want in mm-hmm. this meditation. Feel it, visualize it. Heal the shit that doesn't work for you, you know, address it, love it. It's such a guided therapy session.
Nice.
That when you leave it, you just feel a little more in alignment with yourself.
Yeah.
She does this really beautiful way of allowing you to find the clarity that makes it so that it's real. Because in the picture of all of this, it is real when you become that clear with yourself.
Right.
So it's just awesome.
Right. So, Reiki with Rachel.
Reiki Rachel.
Oh, Reiki Rachel.
YouTube. I'll text
you. Please text
and
it to me.
And then check it out if anyone's yes. into meditation or you want to get into meditation. It's been so transformative with me for the last couple of years. I got into meditation and all of this astrology like in my early 20s. It's kind of what happens when you're an artist and you're in LA.
You mean just last year in your early 20s? Yeah.
Couple months ago?
Couple months ago?
Just turned
right.
it?
Right, right. I've been saying 20-teen forever. How old are you, 20-teen? 20-teen.
I think I'm going to start saying that like when I'm 60, if that ever happens.
If that ever happens.
I watched Housewives Potomac. I love that show. And
I'm not into any of the Housewives shows anymore.
Reality TV to me is therapy.
Not. Beverly Hills was fun.
Therapy.
New York was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Miami, you know.
Atlanta
yeah.
fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't keep up anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. yeah.
Before I forget, because I will forget.
Yeah.
Karen Huger. That's all I'm going to say. You'll know the rest if you watch it. She was like, I lost it now. It was like, I'm turning 20 for the third time or the third. Anyway, the way she worded it was fantastic when
she was
turning 60. And I need to, I'm going to bite that
if I
ever get 20
there. 20 for the third time. I mean, that's.
Something like that.
That's fun. I say 20-teen and I stick to it.
20-teen.
20-teen. And then that's everyone's like, what is that? And they try to do the math. And I'm like, I'm never telling you anyway.
So good thing that I go with math.
Right. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Anywho.
Sorry, we go in circles with when you deal with somebody like me. My apologies.
And that's fine. And that's I love this because it just keeps it really exciting and fun. But, you know, and I don't. And then, okay. Mm. So there's another thing that I pulled up.
Did I answer your question about the Latin heritage, though?
Sure.
Can I get into one more thing about it,
yes,
though?
Yes.
Which has been a little weird for me because I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And
See, for me, coming from the East Coast, when I first moved out west, I was like, you don't speak Spanish.
Totally.
Like, I thought it was the...
Especially...
I thought it was like, what?
L.A.
Like, yeah. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean you don't speak Spanish? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. there's such a... To me, there's such a vibrant Latino culture here.
Huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere you go. I mean, some of the best Mexican food I've ever had, ever.
100%.
Besides Mexico.
Besides my grandma.
And besides...
Nothing's touched that yet.
The homemade Mexican cooking.
It's
I mean, hands
right
down. If you can
it.
Get... If you can get fresh tamales...
When I tell you...
Fresh tamales... are it.
Still to this day, the best tamales I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, well, home cooking, and I think that's a big Latino, like Latino culture thing, like any of the home cooking, but like fresh tamales, I see the frozen food section and I see them, I'm like, I can't even spend my money on that.
I do once in a while when I'm that desperate.
I can't.
I get that desperate where I'm like, I just want that corn husk and something in the middle, pretend, and like, let me go back to like the memories of it as my grandma's.
Do you have a Mexican dish or just a dish from like your grandma or something that you make?
No. My grandma and I never really had any conversation together ever besides like,
holidays and stuff.
Yeah, but even around her, it was like, hola, mi amor, and then cochino, garron. That's it. She spoke not one lick of English, and I spoke, you know.
Very little.
A quarter lick of Spanish.
Right.
Hola.
Right.
I used to call her, it's abuelita, right?
Yeah.
I think I used to call her agualita or something completely off, and nobody told me. I didn't realize until I was like 30. Yeah.
I thought you were a kid. And you were like, I was like 15.
30.
Oh.
Yeah. Even though I took Spanish in high school. Yeah.
Spanish in high school, though, we all know.
We never had a relationship besides food, which was enough, I think, because the love that she put into it is probably why it has such a deep resonance inside of me of the memories that it like spark and the chills I get thinking about it.
Right.
That was all the love that she needed to give me, really.
And it's interesting because I kind of feel the same way, like the resonating of the family, like that not, because yes, I speak, I speak Spanish, but my family lives in the Dominican Republic. They live on an island. So I didn't get to see them all the time. I didn't get to connect with my grandfather and my grandmother a lot. I didn't get to spend that kind of time with them, you know, where it was like kind of a similar thing. It's like, hi. And then I'm off with like my.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
One of my 50 cousins, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, I'm like, I'll be back, you know? But, you know, so there's this, and I find that with other friends too that have family, wherever, from wherever in the world, where it's like there's this, sometimes this disconnect with family, you know, coming from other countries and other parts of the world. Yeah. So, you know, but keeping kind of culture going, right? Keeping heritage going.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely...
And you said native is more of what you tap into.
And I think that comes from like the true essence even of like my Mexican ancestry before the Spaniards came over and instilled it with Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, that ties to the spiritual world and to all of that is really in our blood at the core of all of it. So I'm grateful that I could tap into that more than anything else because, well, I really want to go there. I think that's why I'm here, you know, at the end of the day.
Your purpose.
My purpose.
Yeah. And I talk about that on here too a lot with everybody. Like I just try to be like, you know, what is that purpose? Do you tap into that? Have you figured that out? Did you realize through your life what your purpose may have been? You know, what were the things that happened to you that you were like, oh.
It took a long time because I was living in this state of abnormalcy because that culture and what I'm describing isn't represented by my mother or what she does or how she thinks or how she feels. So I didn't have any of that support around me. I did a little bit actually growing up. I had like this other mom and dad and my pseudo brother and sister who their mom was Native American and Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they sold jewelry at powwows and stuff like that growing up. So there was that essence there, but they were very devout Catholic. So those two things really kept me in this space of limbo of trying to figure out my own voice in all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm happy you're doing this because I feel like, and I don't want to say representation because I don't have that big of an ego, surprisingly, contrary to what people think.
It segments
It comes in and out. Give me like a bottle of wine, it might come out. But just knowing that like it's okay for me to exist the way that I am. I wasn't supported in this heritage of what represents my blood. I don't speak Spanish, but yet there is me. I'm still alive. I'm still walking. I'm talking at this, however real this world is. And there actually are many people like me. And I feel like in our industry that the representation is so far and few between. Mm-hmm. Because in my career, especially as an actor, if it was, do you speak Spanish? So then managers or agents wouldn't represent me because I didn't. Understandably, business-wise, they're not going to be able to throw me on a novela. And I'm not going to be able to partake in that stereotype of what it means to be Hispanic. Mm. And it's nice to be in this space that we all are in now where it's like what that means to be Hispanic is so much broader than what it used to be. I mean, after I did Bring It On, there were no roles for me.
Right.
I tried always my whole life, actually, because of us being minorities.
Right.
And I could kind of pass as being Italian or like some type of white because of
probably
the way that I act and my surroundings and also my features, maybe. Yeah. I was able to like, I kind of always tried to be lighter skinned. Like my mom would always be like, you're getting too dark. You're getting too dark. And to me, that was like, oh yeah, I don't want to cut myself off from an opportunity. And there wasn't much space for us. I mean, after Bring It On, it was like, gangster role, bubble, you know, like vato, la da da da, and all this stuff. And I was like, none of these that I am, but I can play. So I'd go in and cast and be like, he's so good at playing that, but like, we want someone that's really it. And I was like,
yeah, like, all right.
Well, I mean, I'm an actor, so that's kind of the point.
That's why you brought me in.
I pretend that I'm straight every day. That's not real. You know, it's like, what, can you just let me do my fucking job? That's a whole nother thing in this industry. So
that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and, because and, that's also very discriminated against and like pigeonholed, and we've come far leaps and bounds into where it's accepted. And I pushed against it my whole career as an actor. I was like, one day this will be accepted. Little did I know it'd be like when I'm older. And then even to even try to have space for me and being authentic, that's not there because I don't read that. And that's not what I represent. So then you have all this different culture of what it represents and is portrayed in lots of places in the world, but also I also exist in this world.
Yes.
And it's like, where is my space to exist? Because there are many people like me.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting talking about heritage, how it's not until now do I feel like I exist, other people exist, and maybe one day the industry will actually start to let us exist in that space too, full-heartedly without us having to put on something just to perceive an image.
Right. And that's a great point because it kind of ties into as we, it's funny, you know, or interesting to hear, you know, your mom was like, don't get too dark. And it's like, I was dark and I couldn't get lighter. Like, you know what I mean?
100%.
So, and there were no Hispanic people that looked like me on screen, or like whatever, unless I'm watching even the telenovelas, like even the telenovelas.
Oh yeah, they are blonde and fair.
Right, and it's just, it's never so, you know, we always talk, I've talked about with other guests about white passing, you know, in the industry and in that sense. And as we get dark, and now Afro-Latino to some people is a term, but that's, Afro-Latinoism has been around for a very long time, you know, and it's been spoken about for a very long time because we say Afro-Cuban, Afro-music, you know, Afro-Latino music, like that's all, it's all a thing. So it's, I feel like we're pushing towards that and past that, right? But there's still, you know, these spaces where we have to create opportunities and places we can tell our stories.
The more we expand, the more it kind of does the opposite. Mm-hmm. The more space we make available, the more people want to make it smaller for certain types. They want to make it secular when the whole idea of all of it is to make it universal, to open it for all of us. I understand that perspective, but I think at the end of the day, when we can really immerse ourselves as like one, because we kind of really are. This is just a meat machine, isn't it? Like that's your skin color. This is my skin color. But at the end of the day, like what's inside of us isn't colored.
Thing.
It's the same thing. And that's not to take away from our heritage and our roots and our blood and what makes us who we are as individuals. But at the end of the day, we're so much more similar than we're not.
Right.
So I love the fact that we're moving into this broader picture of things.
Yeah.
But then it also makes people want to be like, but then I'm not being seen. I'm like, no, actually, you are being seen more this way.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and it's a great point. And yes, that's the point of all of this is to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know, you had mentioned like Bring It On, and I, when I was pulling up your one of your scenes, when I was pulling up one of your scenes, it was
I'm
like crump battling.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm never going
to
live this
talk
down.
To us about it's crump battling.
Never going to get over this.
Because it's pretty, it's
pretty embarrassing.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think they need to bring crump battling back.
Yeah. First and foremost,
they need to have crump battle competitions.
I claimed to be a crumper, all right? Because I get all of this like love and hate, which we all do just being in a public eye or representing yourself into any type of art.
Right.
But one thing I never considered myself was a crumper. I do consider myself an extremely versatile dancer, and that was my strength as a dancer.
Right.
Was that I could do everything, so I could book crump any battle. Kind of job. So when they wanted me to crump, I was like, sure, I can learn it. And it was so new. It was like when it
and it's hard.
Started. That like
crumping is hard. Like
I hurt
to
my
do
neck
it
today,
right.
Just thinking about it, this is flaring up.
An injury from back in the day.
Yeah, it was just like, because it wasn't like me being able to, I almost went there and told some stuff about me that I probably should have.
See?
You know, like, okay, so I'll give you this exclusive. So they would say when they talk about stuff they haven't talked about
you
before.
You heard it here first.
We had underage nightclubs in Orange County. So we, me and my friends, which were most of my friends were black, because that's just, we were the few minorities in Irvine, and that's,
you stuck
I think
together.
Innately, yeah, we always stuck together because we understood. Yeah, we get it. You just kind of get it, right?
Yeah.
And that's just, yeah. So we would go to the underage, and I was like a twerker, like a full-on twerk Alina Lee.
I bet you were.
And I would have lines of girls lined up at the club.
To twerk with you?
For me to give twerk on their laps. I was giving lap dances.
Were you charging?
I should have been. I'd have a savings probably. So yeah, it was...
Point we got Adrian in the background. You got her laughing.
I know. She's like, laughing. This is awkward. I know. Trust me. When I talk about it, it's awkward because it was so normal to me. Even like every Friday, Saturday,
you like
just
I'm twerking
lines,
this Friday.
And just like, and I was just like, who is this? Yeah. Yep. That was me. So I thought that would maybe lean itself into me being able to crump, but it's
crumping
opposite.
Crumping is hard.
So it was different. Yeah. Honestly, it was a very challenging to learn how to do that. But as you learn when you become an actor, like most, and you're also working with actors who are dancers. At that time, I guess I was more of a dancer who was acting, and they are actors who were dancing.
Dancing, right.
You realize, like, oh, they're struggling
difference.
With this a lot more than you are anyway.
Right.
So I did my best, and I had fun.
Well, it's a viral moment for you.
It
and
sure
I just want
is.
You to know that because I pulled up several videos. And I was like, crump battling. I was like, what?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that battling, but yeah.
And it literally was like Gustavo Carr, crump battling. So there's a whole segment, there's a whole search that Gustavo Carr, crump. See, Adrian's pulling it up right now.
I'm just gonna hide
She's
myself
pulling it up right now.
If I can.
She's like, ooh, let me find that.
Yeah. No.
Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Congratulations on that one. All right, moving on. What was it like working with William H. Macy? He's one of my favorites.
Meet like
Shameless. I saw that scene and I was like, wow, he's awesome.
It was extremely nerve wracking and at the same time, like everything I wanted and more in life. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be an actor since I was a kid, but my mom, Tia and Tamara's mom, Tia and Tamara and Taj, we grew up together. And Darlene.
I thought you were going to say Tia and Tamara and I have the same mom. I'd be like, what?
No, no,
you guys
sorry.
Are
kind of,
brothers
no.
and sisters? They,
we used to carpool all the time growing up. Oh, cool. And their mom, Darlene, was their manager. And all the time was like, can you please let me manage Gus? He's an actor. Because I'm crazy. Which actors are crazy.
You don't say that.
And my mom was just like, she was witnessing this world around her that was so brand new. Mm-hmm. And was like, seeing the craziness, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That can exist.
Happen, right.
And she had enough on her plate, I'm sure, with just dealing with me as it is, just being myself, and then being a single
mom.
I don't see it at all. Totally, who would?
Not one bit.
Yeah, and so she said no. And so I was always like, she was like, I'll let him do these dance jobs and commercials or whatever else, like throughout there, but I want him to have a normal life and kind of have the balance. And I'm grateful to you, Mom, for that, as much as she kind of regrets it sometimes. She's like, you know, you're still struggling to get back there again have the gigs flow and you could already have been there. Yeah, I could have already been there, Mom.
Right.
No, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Sure.
So, no, I'm grateful for that. So, point is, I always wanted to do it. So, when Bring It On came into existence, I was like, thank God. So, that opened the doors for me to be able to do that transition. Because if you're, as a dancer, you know, as anybody else in a different avenue of this industry, yes, I've been in the industry for over 30 years, but each pocket is a different world.
Right.
Right.
So me trying to get into that world was always difficult. So when this opportunity came, I was like, this is my job. I'm taking it because I'm ready. I want to move on to acting.
Right.
Hence, it just wasn't time, obviously, as we already touched on. So I still stuck with it and was like, just trying to fight that identity of that guy who was a dancer trying to act. And I was like, no, I'm a fucking actor. So when I booked Shameless, it was such a beautiful experience for me because, you know, I love our peers, but they'd always be like, oh, is it an acting role or a dancer acting? I was like, no, it's an acting role next to William H. Macy, actually.
Right. Right.
And, you know, they kind of like, what? It was incredible.
Like, I can't imagine, like, somebody at that level, right? Like,
he's the most.
You walk, because it's one thing to dance behind an artist or like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and even if they're actors and they don't really dance, but you're dancing behind them, it's one thing. It's another thing to actually be face to face, talking to them, giving your lines, and they're really acting back at you. And you're like, oh, this is
masterclassing.
Like, a proper on-set camera budgets,
100%.
Like people.
Showtime.
Like, it's showtime, for real. What it was that like? And what was he like? God, was he totally like just comforting?
He is the coolest, most simple, grounded man from what I experienced. That it was a day player guest star.
Right.
Just me and him. We were sitting on the chair and, you know, I don't really get nervous because I've been doing this my whole life, like auditions and stuff. I can put maybe like literally count on one hand as a, maybe three fingers as a dancer where I like completely bombed an audition, or as an actor, maybe even like on one hand where I've completely bombed an audition or didn't show up and perform. That's the benefit of having it being ingrained in you since you were a kid, right? Like something I never take for granted. Right. But those nerves were on fleek, let me tell you, when he, you know, when I was like, he sat next to me and I was like, holy fuck. Like we're sitting there waiting to go on. He sits next to me. He has his ukulele. And I'm thinking to myself.
He plays ukulele?
He plays ukulele.
William H. Macy plays a ukulele?
I'm assuming that is his process to just like.
To get in character.
And to, to push away the nerves. And well, not that he probably hasn't. I think we all have nerves still. But just to ground himself.
Sure.
Smart. Just to like blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm like, please rehearse this with me because I have no idea what we're about to do, really. Like, you know, like this, I've never worked with you. I don't know how you as a person. I'm used to these type of people because I've been around them my whole life. And I don't know what kind of those you are.
Right.
Are you going to be generous, kind, and gracious? Or are you going to be narcissistic and self-absorbent and too good?
Right.
And you know how to handle all of them, but you don't know until that moment exists. So I was just like, well, we'll see what happens. He was so kind that he just looked over to me. He's like, hey, do you want to run it over and rehearse?
And
I was like, yes, thank you so much.
Can you imagine William H. Macy just being like, hey, you want to rehearse our lines? And you're like,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What?
Thank God he was that way. Yeah.
God.
And that's then we amazing. Did it, and I was just like, the nerves, though, were there, they were nerving, and just all like, of that. I was like, ah, da, da, da. And thankfully, we were able to do that. But then, you know, the cameras, I don't know what happens. I can't, like, maybe for you can tell me, but like, in other people in their process, but like, they will happen. And then as soon as it's action, thank God, it fucking exits and you perform.
Yeah.
And so
everything goes out the window.
Yeah. The thought process of what you spoke of, like, well, MHB, da, 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 all that's there beforehand.
Yeah.
But then when it's time to do your job, that all leaves the field. And it's like, yeah, but I'm Gus Carr. So let's play.
Right.
And that's what happened. And well, I was really, really happy with the work that we did together. It was really such a joy to be able to play with somebody like him. It was so much fun. So much improv, actually. And I was taking everything and throwing it back. I think he was testing me, maybe not.
Probably.
That eventually the director was like, okay, you guys are great, but we got to stick. the script supervisor, like, let's get back on board. They kept some of my improv lines and stuff, but it was awesome. Yeah.
And that's great when it, because that's like a validity thing. That's a validation kind of thing when somebody's absolutely. Like, we're going to keep that improv. It was that good. We're going to keep it for the scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can only, like, for me, that was Prince. It was working with Prince. It was, it was, you know, walking through Paisley Park, going to rehearsal, going to the dance studio. And then chills. And then there, you know, you hear whispers of people being like, don't look him in the eye, you'll get fired. Like, you know what I mean? You'll disintegrate and like you'll get fired. And I was like, and I was just like mortified. And like, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna look at him. Yeah. And I could see him like walking in his like little heels, and like the heel had like the little symbol like on it. So like it like clink, clink, clink. Like, you know, when he's walking, so you kind of like
hear. He fucking makes music when he's walking.
You know what I mean? And then he has like the big like puffy jacket thing. That was that era. And so I remember being like, don't look at him. Don't look down. And I could like, I was like looking at his shoes while he was like walking. And I was like, don't get fired. Don't get fired. But at those nerves, right? Yeah. Like are there and they're really real. But then when you're like, you walk into the dance studio, his dance studio, and then he walks into there to watch everybody and not get fired. And you're like, okay, like totally. I made it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I made it.
As of now,
like,
I'm still making a paycheck.
Like, I made it. I mean, it's not acting, you know, at that time it was dancing, but it's still like, but I made it. So there's this confidence thing, right? Which leads to purpose. And yes, I know, you know, you said you also work with Michael Jackson. So like, what was that like too? What, you know, what did you work on with Michael? You're like, I don't remember.
Like, sorry, I'm still trying to like digest what you just said about like receiving the way that you felt when you work with Prince, which is so cool. And yeah, you know, ooh, I'm getting emotional. This happens all the time. Sorry.
That's okay.
Just how lucky are we? Like, and I don't think it's all luck, but the fact that you get to like literally have that experience and live that in this short time that we're here on this place called Earth, and just, and not just like be a part of his journey, but then feel that yourself and feel that like you've accomplished something. How many people get to feel that in a lifetime? And then not just once or twice, but as many as we do, like, I just can never take for granted just this life that we live.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, this happens.
No, that's okay. That's
thank
okay.
God there's a tissue here. That's really why I had to do this earlier. With Michael, I was so young and I've always had this really big ego, essentially, that was like, this is where I belong. I'm still waiting for me to be there, but I've never had any other vision or understanding of me being somewhere but the top. So gratefully able to do that as a dancer, but like I wanted to do that as an artist, as a musician, and as an actor, like all of them. It's probably too late as a musician at this point. I'm too old, but still want to achieve that.
That's I can see you going viral on TikTok, getting a song out.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I've recorded and written many of them, and I never think it's too late, and I have this project that I've wrote, well, created, and I'm still looking for the right writer to produce it, because I don't think it's ever too late, and that's kind of a part of it all. So yes, I shouldn't diminish that, but there's just been this innate fire and knowing and something inside of me that's basically kind of really get ready for this because it's going to sound really idiotic. Uh-oh. But being like, he's just Michael Jackson, you're Gus Carr. I was a kid.
How old were you?
I was 12 the first time I worked with him. So like that's kind of where I you know, when then you get older, you're like, no, it's
you're like,
Michael
what
Jackson.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, 100%. Right, right, right. But maybe just because of like all of the accolades I received so quickly and getting the recognition of being good and all that stuff, as a child, you don't notice a difference. Right. You're kind of like, well, I'm doing good too, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're his dancer, and this is his Pepsi campaign, and he's
was it
the biggest.
Pepsi?
It was. I'm sorry, yeah, it was Pepsi. So it was. It was.
The, it was it where the
that
accident?
Didn't get released. Correct.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
There was a bunch of us kids dancing around in togas next to him. I think Wade was doing it with me. I think Kevin. Did it. Just all of us kids,
that
worked. A lot of other ones that I'm forgetting. I'm sorry, my peers. I love you all.
It's all good.
That I've known forever.
Ever.
Yeah, we're just dancing around in togas with him. And it was so cool. There was a part of me that was like, hi, this is who taught you how to dance with his sister, Janet. I feel it was Janet probably would have been different for me. Maybe. I don't know. This is all weird, but maybe there was that competition aspect. It's like, I'm going to beat you one day. Maybe is what I felt. I don't know. I'm trying to digress and like figure out why I didn't have this experience of every other kid that was like, it's Michael Jackson. I was like, cool, what's up, Michael? Like, we're gonna play basketball together. And was like, I wanna be on Michael's team. I was like, I don't need to be on Michael's team. And then our team won anyway. So I was like, I didn't need to be on Michael's team. No, I don't know. I'm just trying to kind of go and figure this all out as I talk to you out loud about it.
It's fine. It's all fine.
Yeah,
you know?
It wasn't that important to me. Like, yeah. In that space. In but that when sense. I look on it now, I get teary-eyed, as you talk about with Prince, and I'm like, you were around the Jesus of our...
These icons.
Like, you know, then he... I did the VMAs with NSYNC. We did Pop, and he came out and did that little...
Oh, he did that little...
That little thingy.
Yeah.
I think that's when I was able to kind of really understand it more, and I was like, holy fuck, Michael Jackson's on stage with you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was like... Whoa, that's awesome.
Were you in a, because I don't know if it happened at that later time you worked with Michael on stage, because it happened to me with Prince when we did a performance at Paisley, and he was like, you know, MPG dancers come on stage, and we were like, and we looked at the choreographers, and they were like, let's go, and we were like, what, we just learned a number 2 days ago, we're totally bumping into each other on stage, dancing behind him, but I remember looking at him, and it was like the slow motion moment.
Wow.
And he was like jamming on the guitar.
Wow.
And I was like, is this happening? That's, you know, so and cool. I'm like doing a partner number, trying to get through it. But so did you have like a similar thing with Michael too? Because it was so surreal for me.
Yeah.
Even though we had already been around him for a while, I was like, this is like, it was surreal.
I think if I, by the time he did like the This Is It tour and all those auditions happened, I already started transitioning out of dancing. So I didn't audition for that tour or any of that stuff.
Right.
I think maybe if I would have been like a dancer for him, like
maybe
I would
have. You were dancing for NSYNC at the time.
Yeah. You know, and that was such a flash and a blurb, and it was like in and out. And a lot of my life was that way, to be honest with you. Like, I don't remember a lot of things, or like I don't have specific feelings and memories with all those accomplishments because I've been doing it since I was a kid. It's been normalcy. So with Britney, when I was dancing right next to Britney, even then, that didn't feel weird. There was no slow motion. It was like, this is what you do. This is what you've done your whole life. This is normal, I guess. And I hope that doesn't sound egotistical, because I'm trying to actually come from a humble space of just being like,
you were prepared.
It's not even prepared. It was just normal.
Yeah.
There was no other, there wasn't, if it wasn't that, it would be weird.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like if it was like the surreal, and because we both work with Britney together.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just like, she's one of the few people that I got to work with, you know, Prince being another, and there's some others too. But, you know, you walk into a room with someone and you know, like, you better be on your P's and Q's, because working with so many different artists, some you're just like, they kind of rely on the dancers. And then there's those other top tier artists that like, no, you need to keep up with them.
100%.
They're not trying to keep up with you. You need to keep up with them. And so I kind of definitely always with Britney in a rehearsal, it was always like full out, 110%, like, let's go. Don't even try it. And so I know we worked on the Pepsi commercial together. And the first one, right. And it was such, I remember like being on that big stage and doing those pancake drops at the end, like over and over and over again. Yeah. But, and
Wade, that's why I saw back problems.
Right. And then, but it was such, like, I look back on that time and I'm just like, wow, we really were like dancing for the gods.
But even like, as you say it, it's not till now do I realize that. Like back then it was like, it was just normal.
Fun.
And I also, so to be fair, at those years when we were doing Britney, I wanted to be a pop star myself. So when she walked in the room, it was like, you can keep up with me. Like that was my mentality. I know that's probably why people hated me as a dancer. But you know,
I thought you were always funny. You always had me laughing. Yeah. So I was just like, you just make me laugh.
Because I've always been crazy. That's never changed. But yeah, no, it was, so I never felt that with her. It was kind of like, it was to me, it was a testament to seeing if I could really truly keep up with the best. Mm. So instead of feeling that weight, it was like, this is your time to show you are capable.
Right.
I think that's always kind of been my mentality. I think Serena Williams is my messiah for a reason because
she's phenomenal.
I've
seen her play once and I'm like, talk about power.
It's not like, even just her athleticism and capabilities. It's the mindset that she's carried with her to get to that. Mm. And that's what I've always admired. And I'm not Serena Williams. And I know my resume is not that. And that's my alarm. Sorry for
that's okay.
Meter. But it's I feel like I can relate to that never say die, always figure out a way. You're always going to get better, and that person next to you is going to help you get there. And you need to if you want to keep being there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, talking about, no, it's okay.
Sorry.
Is it gonna, it's all right. We'll just have some music playing in the background. Okay. It's like Sabrina Carpenter, Espresso.
Work.
It's just, work. That's what it sounds like. What song is that on your alarm?
It's one of my songs, actually.
Oh,
it's
what?
Called Get Lost in the Beat that I did years ago.
Oh, did you? Is it, like, is it on, is it on YouTube?
I don't know if that one's on YouTube.
Okay. Do you have other music up on YouTube?
I took a lot of it down because at one point I transitioned into like a different type, and a producer had recommended me taking the other stuff down because it didn't represent me then, and still trying to get represented, it would have been confusing.
Okay.
But part of me is going to start doing throwbacks and be like, I used to do this, and I don't care if you like it or not, but I fucking loved and lived by it. I wrote it and I had the best time, you know?
I did some like dance music for like a little German label in Germany.
That's so cool.
And some of the songs I hear now and I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't even know, you guys. It's up and it's like on YouTube with like 3 views.
Can we have that playing behind us?
Yeah,
please.
Exactly. That's what we should have.
You know, it's copyright 100%.
Right, that part. But you know, so I get it. That's why I said multi-hyphenate at the beginning, because I think as dancers, as actors, as performers, as creatives, it's like important to kind of explore all those avenues, even if like we're not the best at them or great at them. It's like good to just kind of get that expression out there, you know?
1,000,000%. I think being the best has been such a thing that doesn't make sense to me anymore because for a lot of the time I was like, oh, I'm not good enough. And then you watch these people that succeed and you're like, they're actually not that good either. They just have a machine behind them telling people you're that good.
Right.
And then everyone believes it.
Right. Right.
So there's that kind of thing as an artist when you get older. You're like, in another lifetime, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going with that, but just the way,
it's okay.
Just the way
we started with Serena Williams,
the
and we went off.
Yeah,
and then, like, it's all good.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Sorry,
and then,
friends and family, you have to deal with it every day.
No, it's all. And then I want to touch on, you played the role of Adrian on Emmy-nominated East Los High.
Yeah.
And you were talking earlier about, you know, you play these roles that they were like kind of stereotyped you into these roles. So like, you know, that being on an Emmy nominated show and having, you know, a role where you're like, I can play it well, like, this is me, part of me, I can play this, you know, how did that kind of help you kind of make decisions moving forward when it came to like roles did you want to play, or were you just kind of like open to everything?
Always been open, because I always felt like I didn't have a choice,
right?
Because there was, who could be choosy and picky if unless you, I don't want to make this about race, and this is not about race, but unless you were Caucasian back in those days that I've grew up in this industry most of the days and still kind of now, who can be picky?
Right.
I had to take anything that was given to me. That's why I learned how to sing. That's why I never said, that's why I was stayed fit enough to be doing, to do a H&M campaign for somebody like modeling. I had to be ready for any opportunity because I am not a trust fund baby. I didn't come from money. I came from nothing, and I wanted to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wasn't multi-hyphenated, I would how else am I going to survive and be an artist in this industry?
It's such a different mentality now, and it's so easy to just do one thing and go viral.
Yeah.
You know, and then create a personality around it and then be like, oh, I just made a ton of money. And it's like, right, you know, great. But
And that's fulfilling for them probably too.
Sure.
I think because we're of a different ideology, the fulfillment is lacking there. Like for us, it'd be like, well, that wasn't really fulfilling. That didn't really make me feel like I did something with my craft.
Right.
But for them, they're like, I did what I wanted to do, you know, and it's the space and time that exists that makes sense for them.
Yeah. And I'm happy I've kind of created a space here where people can come and talk and express. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of like to wrap up each episode with, you know, what do you feel like is important for you to stay in a race of your own?
The older I get, to just stay authentic to myself and not change myself to fit a narrative. I can't tell you how many roles I go out for where just recently even where my agent reached out and it was for someone that was gay. They wanted to be authentic. And my agent reached out. I was like, hey, can Gus come in for this? And the casting who's pinned me countless times and brings me in all the time for these shows was like, oh, I'm sorry, but we're looking for somebody that's authentic to being LGBTQIA+. And he was like, Gus is gay as fuck. And they were like, okay, we'll keep him in mind. I didn't get an audition for it.
Wow.
So I think what's most important to me now is just being like, yes, I am a gay man that plays what I play, and it's multifaceted what I play, and people like me exist.
Right.
And their representation of us is always skewed to be something different to fit into pockets, because those people need to feel like they exist, and as they should, because they do. But right. people like me exist too. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaning really into just being as authentic as possible so that I can shoot from the mountains, I exist, and let that be my success, and hopefully spark something in some other person that says, oh, I actually exist in this world.
Nice. Well, authenticity is huge for me too. So yeah. that's always a big plus for me.
It's been hard, but
so
yeah.
thank you, Gus, for yeah. being here.
I didn't touch on Adrian. I'm sorry.
Adrian.
Reina Hidalgo.
Yes.
She reached out. They needed somebody last minute. I was in rehearsals for something else.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.